Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi there, and welcome to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to revisit the issue of Italian history. If you notice, we've touched on this a little bit recently. And look at the murder of Giacomo Matteotti, and particularly the implications and significance that had for the reign of Mussolini. Now, to give you a little background on the murder of Matteotti, you might have listened to the previous podcast on the March on Rome. If you haven't, it's worth pausing this now and going and listening to that, because that will give you a clear picture of the context of Matteotti's death. Anyway, let's assume that you're back with us now after having listened to that. Matteotti was murdered following the elections of 1924. Matteotti was the leader of the United Socialist Party in the Italian Chamber of Deputies. So he was a very high profile, very well thought of, and very popular deputy, known not only throughout Italy but also very well known on the as an international figure of international socialism. So his reputation spread far and wide, which is why Matteotti presented a potential threat to Mussolini. Matteotti was a fierce and outspoken critic of Mussolini and of the fascists in general, and he had a series of allegations that pertained to the 1924 election. He claimed that basically the fascist party, all these allegations are largely substantiatable, that there had been large scale electoral fraud, and he pointed out that the Black Shirts were not a state organisation, they were not acting in the interests or the service of the Italian people either, that they were a party organisation and that they were a private party militia designed to make sure that Mussolini got the correct outcome in the election. In a way, this is the less damaging of the two allegations, because this is something most people in Italy knew. And a great many people in Italy at the time are fairly relaxed about. Now, there's a great account of the murder of Matteotti in Christopher Duggan's brilliant new book, Fascist Voices, which I'm greatly enjoying at the moment. And it is an account of everyday life in fascist Italy, drawn from all sorts of diaries and recollections. And it's one of those great sources of primary evidence that we so badly need. The second set of allegations that Matteotti had were perhaps more serious for Mussolini. He wrote a book called The Fascisti Exposed, A Year of Fascist Domination. And in it, he alluded to all sorts of allegations of corruption. Now, yes, the Italian fascists were enormously corrupt. Here was a kind of a gangster-like clique who had managed to make their way into some of their great surprise, to the big time, and had access to all manner of government contracts, and they were able to sell on government army stores of equipment at a profit. And there were innumerable tales of graft. The reason why Mussolini wasn't fond of any of this getting out wasn't that he disapproved particularly of corruption. In fact, he thought much of it was par for the course and fair game. But he thought that the idea of a corrupt fascisti would be contradictory to the narrative of fascism that he tried to create, that it was in some way in service of the nation, upstanding, resolute and strong, corruption smacked of a sort of a moral weakness and a certain degree of materialism and the desire for material things and wealth, which were, you know, an ugly individualism, if you will, which was contrary to the supposed spirit of fascism itself. Fascism was meant to be in service of the nation, not managing to kind of live off it or exploit it. It was rumoured that in addition to Matteotti's book, that he also had a secret dossier of information that he'd been collecting on fascist corruption for a long period of time. And it's this dossier that leads me to believe that Mussolini was strongly involved in his murder. Controversy still reigns over the extent to which Mussolini was involved in the murder. I suppose in some ways it's slightly like the Watergate scandal, where perhaps Nixon's direct involvement wasn't ever proven, but his involvement in the cover-up certainly was. With Mussolini, the chief the guilty parties in the murder had open access to him and were very, very well connected to him. And I'll talk about those in just a moment. The murder of Matteotti took place on the 10th of June 1924. Matteotti was walking towards the government buildings where he would be working later on that day. It was in broad daylight in the mid-afternoon, and he was bundled by five men into the back of a car and driven off. He was stabbed repeatedly. It was a very horrifically violent crime. But I think what strikes me as interesting is the brazen nature of it, doing it in broad daylight off the streets. It could possibly be that the fascists who murdered Matteotti were supremely confident that they wouldn't be convicted. Or perhaps it was deliberately brazen so as it could be blamed on extreme elements of the fascisti. This is indeed what Mussolini does. Mussolini is quite frank in saying, yeah, it was very probably the fascists. It was very probably people within the fascist movement. But I'm not responsible for all of those guys. I am not the guy who is able to control everybody. It's a broad movement. There are extremes. But most importantly, it wasn't me. And this is his ploy when 2 months later, Matteotti's body is found. By the way, I paraphrase there. I'm sure Mussolini didn't actually refer to the fascisti as those guys. Anyway, you get my point. The man who killed Matteotti was Amerigo Domini. Domini was an American, Italian-American, who'd returned to Italy at the end of the First World War and quickly become involved in the fascist movement. He referred to himself with pride as Mussolini's hitman and had been involved in various violent actions on behalf of the Duce. And he'd been really closely associated with Mussolini during his rise to power from 1920 to 22. By 1924, Domini was part of the Cheka, which was Mussolini's hit squad, and titled after, obviously, the Soviet Cheka. But in no way seemingly as organised, and in no way the same kind of institution at all. It really is this kind of mobile band of killers, which obviously is a good description for the Soviet Cheka, but the kind of the thoroughness and the kind of the doctrine of class war isn't exactly there. There seems to be more of a kind of a have-a-go mentality. But this Cheka is a direct link back to Mussolini himself. The evidence of their amateurism is kind of all over the crime. Firstly, it was done in broad daylight in a crowded part of the city with lots and lots of witnesses. And secondly, somebody, assuming it was a simple, ordinary, everyday crime and not the work of the state, decided to write down the registration of the car that kidnapped Matteotti. This very quickly led back to Domini, who was arrested and put on trial and imprisoned. And the fact that one of Matteotti's killers can be put away for the crime shows us that Mussolini isn't operating anywhere like, you know, full dictatorial control over Italy at this point. Italy's still a relatively pluralistic society with different centres of power, such as the courts, the police, the army, so on and so forth, that haven't been, by 1924, completely coordinated, but this eventually will happen in due course. So, there are these interesting moments in the lives of dictators, and Hitler has them as well, where they don't seem to have complete and utter carte blanche to break the law as they see fit. One thing that's interesting about the Matteotti case, and one thing that may possibly exonerate Mussolini to some extent, is its uniqueness in that political assassinations just weren't happening all the time in Italy in 1924. There is no other high-profile killing of this nature. And potentially, does this mean that the Matteotti murder was a disorganised attempt to perhaps curry favour with Mussolini, and very much a kind of a Henry II, Thomas a Becket, who will rid me of this troublesome priest kind of deal? It's almost impossible to say. Possibly this was Mussolini's Watergate moment. Perhaps he didn't authorise the killing, but perhaps was more engaged in the cover-up or the attempted cover-up. But in many ways, it's the outcome of the case that really is interesting. There is a national outcry, from some quarters anyway, about the murder of Matteotti. Christopher Duggan makes a very interesting argument in his book Fascist Voices that by and large, country is still supportive of Mussolini. There's been years and years of unrest, and people are willing to trade security for justice. There are many people who are willing to perhaps turn a blind eye to these things, to assume that Mussolini couldn't possibly have been involved, or to think, oh well, you know, that's the price of security. But in other quarters, particularly in the industrial working classes in the north of Italy, there's outrage. A general strike is threatened. And when the fascist government doesn't fall, when Mussolini isn't dismissed by the king, the non-fascist and anti-fascist parties in the government walk out. And this moment, known as the Aventine Secession, Mussolini was able to turn to his advantage. So the Aventine parties looked at Mussolini's position and thought, well, if we abandon him, the king will know that this relatively broad-based coalition of national unity that he hoped would exist has now failed, and all he has is a fascist government. And surely, on that basis alone, he'll dismiss Mussolini and appoint somebody else who will be able to create a government that appeals to everybody. And this spectacularly backfires. Mussolini still has support from various nationalist and right-wing parties, and the king thinks, well, I originally gave Mussolini the job because I didn't want to have a fascist coup in the country. If I try to dismiss him now, that's exactly what I'll get. Mussolini was forced to make compromises with the non-fascist right, the various nationalists and populists. And this, causes him trouble, because now the extreme of the fascist party, who don't believe there should be any compromise with any other party, even those on the right, threatens a coup against him. So on the 3rd of January 1925, Mussolini pulls off, you know, the coup of his career. He creates a speech, he delivers a speech that's really designed to address both the anti-fascists and the fascists in his party. He says, yes, if Italy has become violent as a result of the Matteotti murder, then it is his fault, and he is the leader of fascism. If fascism is violent, then he accepts responsibility for that. However, he grimly indicates and strongly suggests that if fascism is to go, Italy will descend into chaos, and he's not willing to tolerate that. And any chaos that does emerge, he and the fascists will deal with in an abrupt manner. And that really Italy can now only be governed by a strong leader. And in doing so, in not so many words, he is cementing himself as dictator and showing that he is the man to wield dictatorial power. The result of this is that the fascist party has renewed faith in him. They think this is wonderful kind of rhetoric and the sort of thing they've been waiting to hear all along. The fascist parties who walked out of government are subsequently banned, and this is the beginning of fascism proper. As for Dimini, he served 10 months in jail and was acquitted by the king. So if we were writing an essay on the consequences, on the significance of the Matteotti affair, significance really is that it is used by Mussolini to cement dictatorial power in Italy. Though there are obviously other very important lessons to be drawn from this. Anyway, I hope you found this useful, and I'll be adding some more to the podcast in the next few days. I'm going to try to really give a lot of content this week because I know a lot of you guys are coming up to exam time. If you're looking for some interesting, useful advice, check out the website. Go to www.explaininghistory.com. There's a range of ebooks there. If you're doing Italy, if you go to the links page, there's some links to various issues to do with fascist Italy. And check out the free stuff section as well. There's some handouts there on the origins of fascism. Anyway, good luck, everybody. I'll be thinking of you, and I'll catch you on the next podcast. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.